You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Record Celtic podcast. My name is Daniel Conn. I'm delighted to be joined by Record Sports' Michael Gannon and Graham Young. Guys, how are you both?
Very well.
Not bad, chaps. I hope you're all well. I've had an interesting few days. I've lost a wheelie bin, but I've gained a trampoline. So, swings and roundabouts.
Have they cloud?
Yeah.
I feel weird because this is actually the first Record Celtic podcast of the new year. So it's a bit late, but happy new year.
We're still on 2024. It's the longest January in history.
I know. Although Celtic have had a bit of a hiatus as well, but they are now back in the swing of things. I can see Graham's face. He liked that segue there. That was a good one, wasn't it?
Oh, that was very good.
Back in the swing of things, and the transfer window is coming towards its conclusion. And as ever, there's plenty of rumours now. It's probably the best place for us to start because, as we record this on Wednesday, a lot of rumours, Graham, about Matt O'Reilly and Atletico Madrid have come out today. I mean, Matt O'Reilly's been, I think it's undeniable, Celtic's best player this season. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, he's
been an outstanding performer. It's going to lead to interest. And to talk us today that Atletico Madrid, you like the look of him?
And for good reason as well. He's even in the pacing in Madrid, he was brilliant as well in that game. The whole Champions League group stage. You can understand why Girona. You can see again why they would, but this feels more the type of club that is Areli's next move. We know as well that I think dealing with him as well would know that he's quite a cultured guy. I think he'd quite fancy a challenge like moving to La Liga. Atletico Madrid, the way they play, like, I could imagine being the link man for Morata and Griezmann. It's probably a dream move for a player, but at the same time, Areli seems a pretty grounded guy. He'll know his value already. He knows the way he's playing. I think he loves working with Brendan Rodgers. He's the one player probably that Ange had so much success, but it feels O'Reilly's been the one player that's taken his game to a new level. And it might be that another 6 months in Glasgow remains his best move. Celtic obviously got him in a long-term contract. That's hugely important in terms of what comes to the negotiating table. I know in this, similar to the Girona, but offer is a loan, an obligation to buy. So much of a temporary exit, it turns into a full-time one. But as we film right now, is probably in the balance type transfer as you'd get. You could understand the appeal for wanting to go, maybe if the offer's correct for Celtic. But at the same time, it feels a season-defining moment for a player who feels he would define this season for Celtic. Obviously, Paulo Bernardo's come on again, but they two work very well in the same midfield. I think it's a massive decision, and obviously in the next days and hours, we'll see how it transpires.
Mick, we've got just over a week left of the transfer window. I know I'm putting you in the spot. I know it's how long it's a piece of string. But what's your gut feeling? Do you think O'Reilly will still be a Celtic player come February 1st or 2nd?
I wouldn't be putting any money on it, to be honest with you. I think this is the starting gun that's been fired over the race to get Matt O'Reilly. There's been talk about, so you mentioned Girona. There's the suggestions of teams in Germany and Italy and England as well. I think Celtic are in a real danger of losing O'Reilly in this window. I know Celtic are in a really strong position. They don't have to accept any bids. They don't need the money. The player is very, very important to their hopes in the season. But unfortunately, the market sets the demand. And when you're operating in a player trading model, at some point you have to sell the player. And when those lines in the graph intersect, it might not be when you want it to happen, unfortunately. And I think this is not the last we're going to hear about interest in Matt O'Reilly. And I think it's going to be really, really interesting to see how this transpires over the next kind of few days as the window starts to close. I expect teams in England to take notice and get involved, because it now and then becomes at what price. I mean, I think I know they talk about Madrid and Atletico Madrid and a loan, an obligation to buy. That's just the way it would be structured. It'd be a purchase, really. And it depends on the fee. what can Celtic accept? I mean, at some point, I don't think Matt O'Reilly's agitating for a move. I mean, I know he's got representation that are active, but I don't think he's agitating for a move. I think he is quite settled. He likes playing for Brendan Rodgers. I think he'd be quite content to stay this rest of the season. But if an offer comes your way that is too good to turn down, i.e. Atletico Madrid, it's going to be extremely difficult for the player to turn that down, and therefore it's going to be very difficult for the club to hold tight and keep him when that kind of thing pops up. And by the way, if Atletico Madrid come in and say there's £25-28 million, which by the way isn't beyond the realms of fantasy, then Celtic are kind of obligated to take that bid, because that's what the model is and it demands. An ideal world, it happens on your terms, but you can't set the market on your terms, really. I know players have got contracts and all this, but that's not how the game works. If the big fishes come in and with big money bids, you kind of have to take the money and reinvest it into the squad. So I think it's going to be, I don't think O'Reilly's in any hurry to go. I think he would be quite content. But if a bid like this comes in, the concern I would have from a Celtic point of view, I think this might force English clubs to make a move, because he does look tailor-made for the English Premier League. I mean, you see guys like James Maddison having a spell up here and then going and being a revelation down the road. I don't think it's beyond the realms of fantasy to think that could be the similar path that O'Reilly could take. So if a mid to upper ranking English team came in, and by the way, £25-30 million to these teams is a change the back of the couch, then Celtic have got a problem. So I think this is a real live issue for Celtic. I say that it's all right saying we don't need to sell, we don't want to sell, but we know that your hand can be forced sometimes.
See, just on that, Mick, I would say, like, I mean, you mentioned it being in the realms of fantasy maybe, but I don't think at all. Like, see, just Celtic, the transfer market is mental. It's mental across Europe. 30 million. I would say, look, you want Matt O'Reilly, fine, it's 30 million. He's a fantastic player. I know he's playing in Scotland, but as you said, Graeme, he did really well in the Champions League this season. He was a standout in a couple of Champions League games. You can see what kind of player he is. I just think I'd say, look, you want him, fine, but he's under contract, 30 million. Other clubs do it across the continent. Other clubs hold firm, and, you know, I know it's a different playing field, but they go and say to these English clubs, do you know what, it's 100 million, and they pay it. 30 million, as you say, is not a massive amount to these teams. I don't know what you think of that, Graeme, but...
And the cruel, you're bang on, and the cruel irony as well is maybe Celtic fans have been led to believe that it's hard to get players in January, but if Matt O'Reilly gets out of Celtic, it's not been that. That would just add to the ire that's obviously there as well. And the Celtic know what they need. Brendan Rodgers has said multiple times what they need. It just feels such a mammoth moment for the club where they are right now. Rodgers' current situation, and off the back of, there's been challenges this season. It's not all been bad, far from it, but there's obviously, this feels the moment. There's got to be a title race that needs to be won. It feels that Matt O'Reilly needs to be in the team to do that. You're right. I think that's the feeling as well. I know when Jota left for Saudi Arabia, there was this argument that, oh, could you haggle for even more? Well, 25 million is a pretty top fee at the time, but maybe I think O'Reilly falls under a different circumstance. I think the point Mick made there is bang on, that just the fact that Atletico Madrid have made their move, that sets other teams off who've probably had long held interest in them as well. It's going to be a challenging final week for the window for Celtic.
I don't quite buy this thing that if they sell Matt O'Reilly, the league's up this morning. I don't quite buy that.
I don't think so either.
I mean, a big loss, right? It would be a big loss, but that's football. That's the game. You buy players that listen. Matt O'Reilly wasn't even the first choice when he signed for Celtic. I mean, Celtic went for O'Reilly and McCree. The Aussie guy ended up going to Middlesbrough, so then they went and got him instead. Turned out to be a revelation. Life moves on. If you sell somebody, life moves on. The players come and go. It's it'd be a big loss, but the challenge is to go and replace them with another player. That's the business. And Celtic, that's their model. You can't have that model and then complain when players get sold. Again, you want to sell them in your terms, but that's not how market works.
But this as well, Mick, like that's a fair point. You've got the mood music for the summer transfer window into this window. There's a feeling that, I remember John Kennedy said a few weeks ago about Celtic would be, I think, active to try and the time comes to replace Matt O'Reilly. But in this fan base right now, there's not a lot of belief that this this club can find players like that. And I know this about McCree over O'Reilly, and that's a fair point, but if O'Reilly goes now, how does Celtic, one injury in midfield again, now, there's not much room to navigate for a team like Celtic, who they're in a proper title race. This is, if Rangers win their games in hand, it's going to go as much a distance as it has in recent years. I think just psychologically, the whole dynamic of the title race could shift with O'Reilly leaving. But they could win it. But
yeah, but you also got to remember that Rio Tati's back fit again. And Paolo Bernardo is really coming on to a game, having been a very, very much a slow burner. So you could be, if your midfield's going to be McCallum, McGregor, Bernardo and Itati, it's not a bad midfield. Is that a league-winning midfield? Of course it is. Of course it is. And that's without buying anybody else. The trick is they have to have somebody lined up to come in. And these are two things that are working at the same time in different directions. Celtic have to be quick on their feet for sales, because their model is built on player sales. You can't have a player trade model and then complain when you trade players. It just has the way it goes. I mean, the last time, I think losing, was it Moussa Dembele in the last day of the window a couple of years ago under Rodgers, and that didn't go down too well. But Celtic should have been anticipating that, to have somebody coming in, and eventuality. It's going to happen. Your assets are there, and at some point, teams are going to chance their arm and try and take them off you. And it's all right saying they don't need to sell or don't want to sell, but sometimes you need to sell, because that's just the, you can't buy a player and say, well, you come here, get a platform, you can compete for trophies, you can play Champions League, and then we'll sell you to a club when they come in for big money. That breaks down if you stop people getting sold for big money. I mean, that's the end game. O'Reilly's done 2 years at Celtic. Ideally, another 6 months would be perfect in selling for £30 million in the summer. But you don't get to set the terms of the buying clubs. If they want them, they want them. And you can't stop it happening.
I would just say, I kind of touched on it before, but I don't know. I think that maybe the mood in the Celtic fans is, that's fine, he's got to go. He was always going to go. As you say, Mick, that's the model. But I think, like with other transfers that you see, I think Celtic fans that want it to be a bit silly. I know that's going to be a bit silly. Do you know what I mean? Like, see if it comes out and it's, look, he's went for 33 million. You go, do you know what? That's just stupid money. If it comes out and he's went for 18 million rising to 21 or something, you go, well, hang on a minute. Like, it's not really. Yeah. I don't think Celtic need to be a bit tough, but I don't think you can accuse
Celtic and historically of just selling guys in the cheap. I mean, you could argue that Juranovic and Giakoumakis maybe could have got more money for those guys. I know they're not back in the day, they're not back 9 million for Boyata, then lost them for nothing in the summer, which was a sore one. You look at the money. 25 for Tierney, 25 for Jota, 20 for Dembele, 18 for Edouard, 15 for Ayer, whose contract's running out. Celtic do tend to play a hard bargain with these guys. So I don't think they're going to let O'Reilly go in the cheap. And especially, as I'm talking about, if other teams come in, the fee's only going to rise. Do you know what I mean? If there's interest from England, and if England comes in, That gives even teams in Spain and Italy and Germany, that's a problem for them, because English clubs have got seemingly bottomless pits of dough. And if you see a team like a West Ham or something like that saying, right, there's 30 million quid, they could do it in a blink of an eye, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you're powerless to stop that happening. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a fraught final few days of window for Celtic, because I think they are starting to circle now, and it wouldn't surprise me if there is a hefty bid coming in from somewhere that's going to give them a real problem in that sense. But what can you do? Make sure you go and buy a replacement.
I don't want to make this the whole Celtic fire sale podcast, but the other news that we plan on talking about was Lee Labada, who's another name that's been linked with a move in the last coming days. I saw last night, Graham, that it was, there's several English clubs mentioned a potential loan with an option to buy. It's a weird one, Abada, because he's been out injured for a long time, but I think, reading between the lines, Rodgers fans have been a big player for him. In his first season, he got 15 goals, 13 goals last season. Yep. I personally think Abada's a really good player, and another one that I would want really good money for.
Mm-hmm. 100, and obviously, a complex issue that's going on in terms of, it goes beyond football with Abada. Everyone knows that. And I think there's a real as much as there's a real sympathy within the Celtic fan base about his situation, irrespective of what flags are flying in the stands, I think with most Celtic fans you speak to, like him, you could hear the cheer he got when he came off the bench against Rangers. A big applause. People value what he does. I think with Rodgers, just purely in a football sense, I think he'd be a key asset to the way he plays. He's not the best player against a low block. Neither's Maeda, to be fair. The style he gets, he's better when there's space in behind. Excellent finisher. Can make a real difference. And there will be in the bigger games more space, obviously. But I think it's a complex situation for a player who probably wouldn't be at Celtic for the next 2-3 years anyway. I don't think that would be his long-term plan. I think he is a player, ambitious, maybe tries next move. Perhaps something does come off. But I think, I know Nicholas Coon plays in the same position, but I don't think that's any prerequisite. I think Brendan Rodgers would like multiple good wingers with different styles of play for the second half of the season. But it's quite, I think that is the key thing to note with Abad. I think there's a real appreciation for him within the support. It's not, obviously, it has been a complex situation with it. And the player himself been addressed. Brendan Rodgers has addressed it, speaking to him, coaching him, mentoring him, trying to get him back involved as well. I don't think Celtic would be quick to give him up. I think they would really want to keep him around for the second half of the season.
So, you're saying there's appreciation from the support for Abada. They like the Abada, the player. But listen, forget our political points of view on this situation in the Middle East. We're not qualified to talk about it, right? But this is a young kid whose home country is at war, and Celtic fans are flying flags of the country they're at war with. It's for the kid to be in that position, and the political pressure he's getting in the home front as well. I think he's gone. I think he'll go. I don't see how it can work for him, honestly. I think if he'd been fit the first half of the season, I think he'd have been sold in January, or I think he'd be pushing to get sold. I think that's why they were talking about this loan deal, just to prove his fitness with a view to going. But I think it's a really unfortunate situation for him and the club, but I just don't see how it's feasible for him to keep performing at Celtic, unfortunately. And it's all right saying he get cheered when he's on the park and all that stuff. So I'm saying the kid has seen banners.
No, that's fair.
Supporting a country that his country are at war with, and his family members could be in danger. He just don't know. It's not for us to wade into this political situation and give our points of view on that, because it's way beyond our qualification and expertise.
But would you say, Mick, one element of that about you get the cheer against Ray, but what's the point in going through that process with him? Why would Brendan Rodgers?
He's not going to get a move, he's no fit. He's got to play, he's got in the park to get a move somewhere, either on loan or so he's got to prove his fitness again. So that's why he got you back in the pitch again. I think Brendan Rodgers would love to keep him. I think he's done his best to kind of help him through this period, and he's tried to kind of support him and help him try and steer his path through this really tricky situation. But unfortunately, I think it's just too big. I think it's too much of it's too big a situation for him to manage. A kid, he's only a young kid as well. He's made 21 years old, under immense pressure from back home. And listen, put yourself in his shoes. I mean, as I say, forget about your own politics and put yourself in his shoes. If you're living in a country and you're seeing banners of a country that's at war with your country, I don't see how you can feel comfortable in that situation.
Well, I don't think you could, but just to counteract that, Mick, you either play one, he's played twice at Celtic Park, right? He's played two games back at Celtic Park. There's how many more before the end of the season? 9 or 10. Now, I agree exactly what you're saying. There will be mammoth pressure on him, but you've got to this point. He was out injured when it was at its absolute highest point between club and fans and all that stuff. But now he's been on the pitch against Rangers as well in another game. We're not that far away from him. If a loan doesn't come off, he could be a part of the second half of the season. And while probably having the same grievances he would have anyway, and as I touched upon, the support would be there. I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility to make it work until the summer, but understand the pressures that come with it.
I think there's a real situation brewing there that's difficult to manage. And unfortunate for Celtic as well, that it's probably going to cost them 5 or 6 million quid, because this is a kid who, if he'd been on the same trajectory and got fit and played the second half of the season and the way he played in the first two seasons, I think he would go in the summer anyway. I think he was thinking about it last summer until Rodgers kind of persuaded him to stay longer, sign a new contract and wait and see what's coming up. I think he was potentially going the summer anyway, but a player who would probably be £13-14 million next summer is probably going to go now for £6 or £7 million, maybe £8 million max. Mm-hmm. So it's this situation is also knocked about £6 million quid off his value, unfortunately, for Celtic.
He's such a unique player as well. He's not like an out and out winger. He's some of the goals that he scores go spinning at the back post. I mean, just ask Bob about it.
He's been a great signing because he's just got end product. I mean, sometimes his in game play is a bit rough and ready, but he's got end product. He creates goals and he scores goals. He's been a real top performer for Celtic over these couple of seasons, and the success that they've had has been a lot is down to him. Big game performer as well, done it in matches against Rangers and all that stuff. He's been terrific. I just think it's too far down the line for him. I mean, listen, it's speaking to folk around and hearing the noise from he's getting from back home. The poor lad is in an impossible situation, really. And unless you're in those shoes, you can't say what he's thinking. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of an example. If you're a Scottish player playing abroad in a country, and then your country's invaded or whatever, or how you perceive it, and that country's got flags up with the nation that's invaded you, I don't see how you can hang about. Mm. I mean, it's all right saying the fans support the player, but by being so politically overt in their support for Palestine, if it's not just a bit of support, I mean, it's unequivocal, full backing. And again, you can have your own opinion on that. Say your things. It's not for us, but for the player, that puts him in a hell of a jam. Mm-hmm. It really does. And I don't know if he can block that. If he can block it out and just get on with it, I just don't know if he can. Listen. If he does, Celtic have won a watch. And if you get him back playing, performing, and getting on with the job and doing what he does, then it's an absolute bonus. But I just think the path is too treacherous for him at this point in time.
On the flip side, in the transfer window, guys, away from selling players, let's maybe finish today's pod by talking about potential incomings, because Graham, you mentioned that Nicholas Kuhn has arrived, I think for what, £3-3.5 million quid from Rapid Vienna. I'm quite excited about him as a player, looking at some of the stuff I've read. He's obviously got some pedigree the teams that he's played for previously. His supposedly stats, you know better, Graham, but he's kind of, what is it they say, he's in-game runs, he's progressive runs in games, progressive passes.
A wise scout classic, Daniels, you know. What's good about Kuhn, I think the biggest selling point with Kuhn has got to be the fact that he's got major club experience. Bayern Munich, Leipzig, Ajax, Young, didn't quite come off, but it's got enough about him to go to Rapid Vienna, play well. I think there's a model for these type of players. Let's take someone like Martin Odegaard, right, on a different level. But Real Madrid, as a way to associate, that did very well, found themselves, Arsenal came again. So these guys who at 16, 17, 18 were viewed as top, top talents, it might not have quite happened in the way they hoped it would, but they've got a way to kind of find themselves again at still a relatively young age. I think there's plenty to like about him. He's properly quick, isn't he? Like, that's the selling point. He's got real pace. And he does, I think, if you watch the highlights, he does things simply. So you take Kieran Tierney and the original Rodgers team, those low crosses in the box all the time. That's what he just does. He doesn't put silly, dainty balls up to the back post. It's just in behind the winger, low cross in, and it works well. That's the way Celtic are trying to break teams down. I think there's every reason to be excited. I think there's plenty of reason to be excited about Lundbeck as well. I was blown away with his level of performance at Dundee. Obviously, that's not happening now. The only place he can go back to is Dundee. But I think for Kuhn, obviously, he's a top player. I would have been all for Lundbeck as well. I think he's a proper level about him as well.
I'm excited by Kuhn as well. He's only 24. But Mick, if the transfer window slams shut tomorrow, or today rather, Brendan Rodgers wouldn't be happy with just one incoming, would he? I mean, there must be other areas that he wants to address.
Well, listen, Brendan Rodgers has been talking about wanting quality for months before the window opens. Would Kuhn, the only signing, represent the quality? Not enough, really. I think they need to do more. I think this is a Celtic's kind of recruitment side of things now under serious pressure. The window is starting to close. I think they're going to have to get a shift on. They're going to need to be very quick on their feet. So I said, I mean, you're looking at O'Reilly, not bad, I could be at the door. They're going to need to get their skates on. I think there'll be the usual couple of loan deals in late in the window in January, probably. Maybe those kind of loans with obligation to buy type jobs. But at what point is this team going to be getting raised? I mean, at the moment, they're firefighting to fill gaps that are popping up. They didn't really fill the Jota gap. Even the Aaron Moy gap. I mean, Bernardo's come in there now and looks as though he is filling that gap now. So I think they still need another striker if Kyogo's injured. But I don't understand, that's a tough one because they're looking for guys really quick as a kind of number, not the second or third choice striker, but a kind of sharing the kind of backup role with O. But I think they do need someone because Kyogo, I mean, we know he's managing an injury. He's soldiering on, still doing the business. I still think they definitely need help at left back for Greg Taylor. I think Greg Taylor's first choice and he'll stay first choice, but he needs help because he plays every week and he's at some point he's going to need a break, need a bit of help or competition. I think right back is also an issue because I think a lot of these games against teams that sit deep in the low block, I don't think that's Arthur Johnson's strength. I think he's better in the bigger games, i.e. Champions League, the derbies. I think he's very effective in those games. I don't think he's got the dynamism for the kind of breaking down teams. I think he's a wee bit slow on the ball and he's not waiting for him to get an assist this season, which, as I said, a lot as well. So I don't think that's he could do with a quick, creative fullback for those kind of games. I think that's necessary. I mean, midfielders now, if you're talking about O'Reilly being a real live issue, that will need replaced. Celtic need to have a list of three, four, five guys and getting ready to hit the button. And if they don't do it, excuse me, they're in bother because the summer window was seriously terrible. I mean, it really was a poor window in terms of the bodies could come in. None of them were really first team ready at that stage. I say Bernardo has come on to a game. The rest aren't improving the team. The challenge was to improve the team. That's not happened in the last window. Has it happened this window? You're saying Kuhn coming in, potentially an exciting signing. There needs to be more. Just need to start upgrading the team. They've got money in the bank. I know January's not really the time to be doing it, but at some point you need to sign players who are better than the ones on the books.
That's
it. If they don't make any more permanent signings, I mean, if they get a couple of loans in the last few days of window, depending on who they are, I think they'll get a loan striker in anyway. I think if we don't get a couple of good signings in the door, I think there'll be serious questions asked. And if we don't win the league, I mean, this year, they'll be healthy pay. The punters will be fuming.
Is there any chance, there's a question to both of you. Again, I know, you know, I'm putting you in the spot, but just any chance of a last minute Majowski or Lauren Shanklin just going in, getting the deal done? No chance?
I don't think there's any reason those two players in particular would be any less likely than others mentioned. I think Aberdeen, they've been, I don't mean surprisingly resolute, but I thought Majowski looked like a player primed to go last summer and he's got even better this year. Shanklin's a difficult one. It does feel that at some point, it feels that maybe Rangers is his destination, but that might not be this window, it might be the summer. I think to just go back to Matt O'Reilly as well, the more you digest it, it's just great news. Like, they just can't afford to lose a player of that quality. That is the biggest decision Celtic might made this point there about upgrading. That's the feeling. Like, Palmer's been good, but he's not Jota, is he? Starfelt, for all his moments at times, he was a proper defender. Him and Carter Vickers, the scales have done very well, but he's not as good as Starfelt. He's not that. There was just a robustness that those two had together, and playing Ange ball, pushed higher up the pitch. That's something Scales wouldn't be able to do. They sit slightly deeper than before. I just feel that's the issue. It's about upgrading this team. They will be in a title fight. Come on, at Rangers, he's proven already that he'll win games. Win games Rangers should. So where O'Reilly's, take O'Reilly first and foremost. If he goes, which just feels season-defining, probably era-defining for Celtic in the next couple of years, to then catch up for that point on. And as Mick mentioned about striker as well, it is the hardest position because O at times can come on and get a couple of goals in games. Kyogo's entrenched as a starter. You're probably looking at some kind of marquee loan move for England for a player who's that style of player for 6 months rather than a permanent deal, someone who can come in and play games. But it's absolutely 24th of January, Daniel. Quality signings has been the mantra since September. I think there's a real agitation, and rightfully so, among Celtic supporters that things need to happen quickly. But quickly is not a word that feels very commonplace right now when it comes to Celtic transfers.
We need to wrap up, guys, because I've dragged this on for ages and we've got lives to lead. But Mick, what do you think? Shanklin, Majovski, no much chance? Or
Shanklin, no, because for a few reasons. 28, probably talking 3-4 million quid. Doesn't really fit the kind of model. Also, in terms of Shanklin, he needs to be playing every week. There's a European Championships coming up. He can't afford to be getting 10 minutes here and there if Kyogo's playing every week. So, no, not Shanklin for me, in terms of Celtic. Majovski, a different situation, perhaps. Again, though, Aberdeen are holding out for big money. Again, they're certainly going to pay £4-5 million for a guy who's not a guaranteed starter. I would doubt it. I would doubt it. That's not one that I would expect them to. Would they score goals for Celtic? Yeah, more than likely. But again, is that a percent value for money? I don't know. Celtic could do. I mean, I say the pressure is going to be on. Celtic fans want them to spend a few quid. They did spend money in the summer. A lot of these kind of more I think the word is project, wasn't it? But every player signs Celtic a project player. So I don't quite buy that. But you'd think at some point they're going to have to go out and spend £4-5 million on two or three players. No. Or folk are going to say, what is the point of having that money in the bank if we're jeopardising the league title?
Exactly.
That's the reality. Because at the moment, Celtic have kept their noses in front. They got the result against Rangers at Celtic Park. It showed that there's still a fragility with Rangers. But they've showed signs of being stronger under the new manager, and I think they will get better. They've made a few moves in the transfer market already. I still think they've got a bit to do in a general picture, but Celtic need to react as well. And if they don't, the punters are going to be asking questions, because there's no point in having money in the bank if the team's getting weaker each window. And that's what's happened over the last window. And if it happens again, if they say they lose two key men and don't replace them with proper signings, there's going to be big questions asked about the way the team is going. Right. So this is a big week. This is a big week for Celtic off the pitch.
Right. Unless it's a ready made striker, or remember Craig Bellamy signing on January deadline day. That was
those days are gone, unfortunately, I think.
My birthday's the 31st of January. I know you guys know that, and your presents ready that. But Mick, don't kill my hope. I've got a feeling there's a.
The days of the Robbie Keane's and the Craig Bellamy's, I think, the way the English league is gone, I mean, these guys now are on the kind of money. I mean, they're big money back then, but now guys at that level, I mean, a guy who's, let's say, like a Spurs or a Liverpool or a Newcastle backup striker is probably 140 grand a week. These deals that were done in the past, I think, are unfortunately a thing of the past. You might get a kind of academy level EPL striker who's looking for a bit of game time, like a 19 year old kind of academy kid, something like that.
But I don't know, Mac. I think you're being pessimistic. I think there's a big one incoming, 150 grand a week.
Maybe Salah might want some time to get some his fitness back up for Rangers. You never know.
Guys, as always, it's been an absolute pleasure. Graham, Mick, thanks very much. Thanks very much for listening. Cheers. We'll be back next week.